Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. It's Thursday already as we near the end of the first week in December. Isn't it amazing how quickly the time flies by between Thanksgiving and Christmas? It's just the blink of an eye. Here we are almost a week into December already. And, of course, this year there's not nearly as much time between Thanksgiving and Christmas as there ordinarily is, because Thanksgiving was so very, very late this year. Well, it's an Ask the Lawyer Day, and we have lots of questions for our attorney visiting with us here on the program today, Elizabeth Smith, whose practice is in Cranberry, right, Elizabeth?
That's right. Good to be back.
Yeah, it's always good to talk with you. We've chatted with Elizabeth in the past, and we have a variety of things that we want to talk about today, some of which have been in the news, some of which are probably misunderstood, if understood at all, by the general public with regard to our legal system. And it's something that we should know about, right? We should know how the court system works. We should know about the legal system. I don't know. Do they still have a civics class in high school these days? I did when I was in high school. I had a very, very good actual civics class. I wonder if they still teach that, you know?
From what I understand, it depends on the school, and some schools have it, and some schools don't, and oftentimes it's an elective, and so not all students have the opportunity to take that. But that's one of the roles of the Bar Association, is to make sure that we help educate the public about the system, how the system works, how you have access to the system. And so having programs like Ask the Lawyer provide a great platform, and we're very thankful to your radio station for sponsoring it for all of these years. And I know over this past year you've had a number of attorneys talk about different areas of practice. Mm-hmm. I was on and talked about Social Security work. I know attorney Phil Lope had been on and talked about estates and wills. I believe attorney Joe Nash was on and probably talked about criminal law.
Yeah.
But as we kind of close to the end of the year, I was thinking about it's great to talk about all of these areas of the law, but how does the man on the street find their way through the court system? And as you've indicated, there's been many things in the news, both in our county, Butler County, down in Allegheny County, and then on the national level. And so we're really thankful as a Bar Association to be able to come forward and share some information today about that.
Well, I'm anxious to talk to you. Let's start, if it's okay with you, talking about grand juries and the grand jury system. This has been in the news a lot over the past year or so. Most recently, I think, in a neighboring county. Well, it was in Allegheny County in the district attorney's race down there last month, where the longtime district attorney, Steve Zappala, was reelected. But over the course of the election campaign, there were accusations brought forth about misuse of the grand jury system and the so-called secret grand jury system, and was it being overused? And I feel, as you do, that a lot of people, the general public, doesn't understand exactly what a grand jury is and how it works. So can we talk about that a little bit?
Oh, absolutely. So, and I think the other thing the public is thinking about is, even you hear about the federal grand juries. And
yes,
we're talking today about grand juries in Pennsylvania. And there's two different ways that a prosecutor, the district attorney, can bring criminal charges forward. One would be through the grand jury process, and the other way would be through the filing of a complaint, and that's through the public process. And mm-hmm. So with a grand jury, Butler County does not use the grand jury. Primarily, you find it used in Pittsburgh and in Philadelphia, in some rare cases. However, what happens is a number of citizens are impaneled, typically 12 to 18, and they are sworn to be confidential proceedings. And the district attorney, the prosecutor, then makes a decision of whether or not charges should be brought forward, but brought forward in secrecy in order to protect potential witnesses who mm-hmm. might testify. And with a grand jury, then let's say an offense happens. So in Pittsburgh, there had been a homicide. And the district attorney decided to go through the grand jury because of concern, so he said, relative to protection of the witnesses. But what happens is the defendant's not there. The defense attorney's not there. There's the prosecutor, the district attorney, who brings the case forward with the charges in front of this impaneled group. He or she asks the questions. And then the grand jury makes a decision as to whether or not there's a bill of indictment. Do they go forward with the charges? And so I don't know if you ever watched Law and Order. Grand juries were always part of that show, and they would say bill, no bill. Well, no bill is no indictment. No, they're saying no to the charges, or they're saying bill, go forward with these. But the problem, at least from my perspective, and in terms of we want the justice system to be open. And so when you have proceedings and you don't know what happened in those, then how is that fair to the defendant, but how the public has a right to know? Eventually, if there would be charges that were held over, then there's the indictment. The defense attorney can then have access to the transcript, but it's not that you can go and talk to the individuals who served on the grand jury, what was going on, why did it happen this way. And what was interesting in the Allegheny County part of this was, and I had pulled some articles from the Post-Gazette, who of course covered this in depth. In 2018, the district attorney used grand juries only in 22 cases. Through October 9th of this year, he had used it 79 times. And what the Post-Gazette and what a lot of the public were saying is, why be in secret? Why isn't it out there? What else is going on? Mm-hmm. And so that was when you saw about that in the news, when it was raised in that race. It's not commonly heard of. And so that's also kind of the what's going on here? Where's the transparency here? The counter argument to that, and I read some comments to the articles that were in the Post-Gazette, were, you know, there was a murder of a police officer. Who wants to come forward and talk about these things? There's gangs. There has to be protection. There hasn't been much written since October about that, and I tried to inquire about the number since October 9th, if it's continued, and was unable to obtain that information. But it's interesting. I've, in all the years that I've practiced in Butler County, I've never known of a grand jury to be impaneled. The other thing to perhaps mention about it is, number one, it's something that the district attorney has the ability to utilize. The process that we're most familiar with is where the somebody is charged with an offense, it's written up in a complaint, you have it on a piece of paper, you go before the district justice. In Butler County, we have a number of different district justices. So if the crime was committed in the city of Butler, you would see the district justice in the city of Butler. Mm-hmm. The crime was committed in Cranberry Township, there's a district justice there. Depends on where the crime's committed. You go forward and you have your preliminary hearing before the district justice. And the district justice then doesn't decide if you're guilty or not guilty, but the district justice says whether or not there's probable cause for these charges then to be bound over to court. So it's a simple, there's a hearing, but it's public. You're notified of what's going on. You have the ability to defend.
And sometimes some of the preliminary charges filed by police are dropped before a district justice, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, if a person hypothetically had been charged with, you know, four crimes, let's say, mm-hmm. and they had a preliminary hearing before one of the magisterial district judges, two of the charges could be dropped and two could be brought forward for trial.
Right, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, the district attorney also has the option, right, of then saying whether something goes on to trial or not. And this happens in some cases where the district attorney can decide on his or her own whether or not there's sufficient evidence here to warrant a trial, right?
Well, actually, if you don't meet your burden of proof in front of the district justice, then those charges don't go forward. So I'm thinking maybe you're thinking of there's like related charges. So they have their day in court on their preliminary charges, mm-hmm. and maybe two counts are held for court and two counts are not. And then the district attorney decides to add charges at the trial level. It would have to be charges that are relatable to the offense. Just couldn't be from something different, a different crime for mm-hmm. that person.
But under Pennsylvania law, there is also the option to go to a grand jury to decide whether or not a particular case is going to go to trial. Now, it's my understanding, I'm not real knowledgeable here. That's why I'm interested in mm-hmm. talking with you about this. A grand jury can be impaneled and then hear several different cases, right?
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, they're not impaneled to just hear one case and then they're dismissed.
Depends on the county, depends on what the intent is. Mm-hmm. Think back this year, or was it this year or was it last year when the report came out about the investigation with the Catholic Church?
Oh, clergy abuse? That was last year, and that was a statewide grand jury.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So different, but impaneled for one particular purpose, although there were multiple defendants. So just depends.
A grand jury, by the way, from my understanding, it's called a grand jury simply because it has more members than a typical trial jury, which here in this country is 12. And you could have a grand jury with 16, 18, 23, whatever, but that's why it's called a grand jury. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah. Do other countries have grand juries? A lot of our legal system particularly is handed down from old English law, you know, going all the way back to the Magna Carta. I don't know whether other countries still use grand juries or not.
I do know, and you're going to laugh, at one of the sources that I reviewed was actually Encyclopedia Britannica, who actually just updated in this area. And it's based out of course, English law.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see, and maybe you know, I did not see that there are other countries that utilize that system.
But it is used here in the United States, although locally you say hardly ever. In fact, to the best of your knowledge, never since you've been practicing here in Butler County, at least.
Never, to my knowledge, on a Butler County level. Mm-hmm. But
on a state level, we hear of grand juries being impaneled fairly frequently to investigate corruption cases, right, and all sorts of other things.
State level, federal level. What was interesting about this is, what caught the public's eye, I believe, was in Allegheny County when you went from 22 cases to 79 cases.
Yeah.
And what's the reasoning? And the standard is basically the DA decides. And so there's part of the public that says, well, we elected him, and so we trust his judgment. And there's part of the public that says, why is it just not open proceedings? We have the right to know. A defendant should have access to the system to defend against those things from the very beginning. How do you get ahead of that?
So a grand jury does not determine whether or not someone is guilty or innocent, but simply decides whether or not it should go to trial.
Whether or not the prosecutor has a sufficient evidence for the case to move forward to trial.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that's interesting is there was one case in Allegheny County where eventually the district attorney withdrew the charges, and the individuals did not have charges, but they had been sitting in prison for 15 months while the case kind of sat. And so it's a question, from what I understand, and where there's cause for concern is how it's manipulated for certain defendants.
And what if the grand jury results are ever leaked out? Is that fair to the defendant? You know, are they presumed guilty by the general public simply because of what a grand jury recommended, when in fact there was never any trial? I mean, is that fair?
That's not fair. And then, you know, of course, you run into they were charged, but they weren't convicted. But having that charge out there, that's a problem for a number of individuals.
How do you ever erase that black mark? You know, how do you ever restore someone's reputation? Or can you?
You know, through the judicial system, you can have those charges, if they're ended up being withdrawn, dismissed, you can have those expunged if you would file a petition for expungement with the court and ask that those be expunged. But as we both know, in this day and age, the thing called the World Wide Web, once it's out there, it shows. So even though a potential employer does a background check and doesn't find that on the record, they do a greater social media search or just a general news article search, and they could find, hey, so-and-so was contacted by the police because he was bothering his ex-girlfriend, and maybe charges were filed but dismissed, and he had those expunged, but they find it on a newspaper article that then hits the internet or social media, and it's there, and it keeps a person from being employed.
Yeah. Who runs the show at a grand jury? Is it the district attorney or an assistant who's prosecuting? I mean, you've got this panel of, you know, anywhere from 12 to 23 people. Who runs the show? Who presides? Is it the DA?
Well, there's a judge who's assigned to it, but there's not a judge in the room. So basically it's the prosecutor or one of his or her assistants.
And they call witnesses?
And they call witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And they ask the questions, and the grand juror can ask the prosecutor questions who may say, well, that's relevant or that's not relevant. But the prosecutor, the district attorney, runs the show.
And there's no opportunity for the defense to participate in a grand jury proceeding.
Correct.
One wonders, then, why it has been used so many times, particularly in the two biggest cities in Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, and hardly anywhere else, at least at the county level.
At the county level.
Can you be called for mandatory jury duty to a grand jury just like to a regular jury? Do you know?
I do not know that.
I'm just wondering where they get these people, you know?
I would expect it would be the same process.
Mm-hmm. Pull a name out of eligible pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grand juries, do you think this is going to be up for debate, given some of the recent controversy about it? Could the system be changed here in Pennsylvania?
My understanding is that there is talk of legislation to end it. My research as of yesterday didn't show that there was anything definitive, but that there was has been a study as to why it's still being used and the impact on the system and what the pros and cons are. And so I didn't see that there was any finalization of any legislation in Pennsylvania at this time.
There are also federal grand juries, right?
There are. And that's a whole similar kind of system. You think about in terms of racketeering, you think about the mob.
Other corruption cases.
But also in terms of gang-related and at the federal level in terms of those crimes. And they have federal grand juries right in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. that the Attorney General's office for Pittsburgh then brings to the grand jury for them to make a decision. Do they have sufficient to move forward with the case?
Yeah, there are federal crimes. Tax evasion would be another one that could be brought before a federal grand jury.
Probably most likely not. Something like tax evasion is going to be...
Because that's civil as opposed to criminal, you mean?
No. I mean, you go to jail for tax evasion. I've had clients go to jail for misuse of Social Security benefits where they lied to the government and mm-hmm. said they weren't working and they were working, and they then were charged with a crime for that. But there's no real... What's the concern in terms of privacy and protection of witnesses, that type of thing? I think you have to think on a bigger scale in terms of who's going to be protected and why are you not wanting this information to get out? Is it going to make witnesses go cold, go missing, evidence, that type of thing? So it's not so much the, I don't want to call them common crimes, but the bigger ones that take a lot of pieces to be able to put together.
Are these countywide grand juries in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, are they ever, are transcripts ever released after a case has been adjudicated? Is the testimony made public?
The testimony can be made available to the defense team within a few months. And then, yes, it would be part of the public record.
Talking about grand juries, they've been in the news a lot recently, not only in recent weeks, but over the past couple of years here in Pennsylvania. It's an Ask the Lawyer Day. Attorney Elizabeth Smith is with us here on the It's Your Turn program today. We'll take a break. We'll come back and continue our conversation on this Ask the Lawyer Day. right after these words.
Tri-Rivers Musculoskeletal Centers congratulates orthopedic foot and ankle surgeon Dr. William Saar for being named a best doc by Pittsburgh Magazine for the third straight year.
I'm Dr. William Saar with Tri-Rivers. Whether you suffer a foot or ankle-related trauma, such as a fracture or dislocation, or require reconstructive foot and ankle surgery, I rely on my extensive experience and specialized training to get you back on your feet. For more information or to schedule an appointment, please visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-874-7483.
Are you looking to buy a house for the first time? At Armco Credit Union, they're known for competitive rates and low fees. But did you know their mortgage specialists will work with you every step of the way to make sure your best interests are served? Call the mortgage department at 724-284-2020 and ask them about their first-time home buyer program that allows a minimum down payment of only 3%. Don't have time to call or visit? Simply apply for a mortgage online, armcocu.com. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month, Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away. Why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Welcome back, good friends. It's an Ask the Lawyer Day here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Dave Malarkey is my name, Elizabeth Smith, attorney whose offices, her law offices, are in Cranberry Township. McKenzie Way, do I have the
McKenzie
right address
Way,
on that?
Correct. Yeah. Yep, right by the Dick's Sporting Goods.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to talk about something else. Elizabeth mentioned at the beginning of our conversation today, the Butler County Bar Association feels an obligation to, make sure that the general public is as knowledgeable about the legal system and the court system as possible. Number one, it's part of good citizenship. Let's talk a little bit about, we had a prothonotary election here in Butler County last month. Kelly Ferrari was elected as the new prothonotary of the county, replacing a veteran public employee. Glenda Walters had been prothonotary for, I don't know how long, but it was many, many, many years of public service, Elizabeth.
And Glenna Walters was prothonotary, or is still prothonotary until the end of the year, for 36 years. She served our county, and she actually started working in the county in 1970. And Glenna is just a wonderful individual, a very hard worker, and many times individuals will say, what is a prothonotary? And I can remember when I went to law school in Ohio, so when I came back to Pennsylvania to practice, it's like, what is this prothonotary? but that's prothonotary. She's the official keeper of the civil records. That's where the notary piece comes in.
The first scribe is literally what prothonotary means. Mm. It's from its Greek etymological derivation.
And I had the opportunity to speak with Glenna yesterday about her office, about the different services that are provided out of that office, and what things that office cannot do.
Mm-hmm.
The the Prothonotary's office, for those who aren't familiar with the Butler County Courthouse, there's the courthouse itself, what we call the old building, and then there's the Government Judicial Center, which is the new building.
Which actually has some courtrooms in it.
Right, has some courtrooms in it. And how you access the Prothonotary's office, how anyone accesses the court system, you have to go through the Government Judicial Center, go through security. That's post 9/11, of course. Mm-hmm. And you then take an elevator, go over a walkway, and you go into the old building, and it's down on the first floor there.
The only way to get into the actual old courthouse, yeah.
That's the only way to get in now.
Sad commentary, actually, on our society. I can remember when you could go up the front steps and walk into the courthouse, but, well, that's our society today. It would be irresponsible to, you know, to still do that.
Yeah, absolutely. In the Prothonotary's office, in speaking with Glenna, she said every day was a different day. You never knew what was going to happen from the time that you started until the time that you ended. Mm-hmm. And she talked about some really different components of the judicial system. Naturalization court. So if you want to become a citizen, that's where the paperwork's filed. I know, Dave, you're interested in genealogy. The Prothonotary's office has records that go back to the 1800s on microfilm. And so maybe you wanted to know if your grandfather sued his brother at some point, or were trying to figure out what the family tree would be. You may go to the Prothonotary's office and go back, and there's cross-indexing, and so you'd have to do a little work. You'd have to sit and spend some time there, mm-hmm. But you'd be able to find that out.
Is that accessible to the general public?
It is. You just go in and you say what you want. And you, the Prothonotary's office open 8:30 to 4:30. They do not close for lunch. Always staffed, and so, well, they're not going to do the work for you. They'll get you pointed in the right direction. Another thing Glenna mentioned, and she said, you go and you're going to have surgery. You want to know if your doctor has been sued before. Go to the Prothonotary's office and look to see if there was a lawsuit and a finding against a particular doctor. She said one time she received a call from an individual and just didn't have a good feeling about the person that one of her children was dating. And this caller came in and looked up and found out that there had been this individual had a PFA with another individual. And so her suspicions were right. And so there's all sorts of information that's contained in the records there, and they're the official record keeper on civil matters. So there's a wide variety of things. There's anything from the family court matters to driver's license suspensions to liens, all sorts of information there that is available to the public. But not only information, but it's also, of course, then the headquarters for the filing of civil actions, medical malpractice case, a family law case, those types of things.
Now, note the distinction there that Elizabeth mentioned twice. We're talking about civil actions, so as distinct from criminal court actions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's with the civil. And one of the things that the administrative offices for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania have done in recent years is they have adopted forms. So if you are not wanting to proceed with an attorney, or if for some reason you can't have an attorney or want to represent yourself, the AOPC has released forms for certain types of matters. And the Prothonotary's office has some of those forms, and they're also available online, not only at the AOPC site, but also on the Butler County Prothonotary site. And What's important for that is that the state system is enabling the counties then to provide access for justice for all. If, let's say, Dave, you need to file a custody action, you would be able to go in and they would be able to share the forms. They're not going to fill the forms out for you, but and it's just not a form. There's educational materials. Here's step one, what to do. Here's step two, what to do. Here's step three, what to do. One of the most important things, because the counties and the state have worked together to have these forms available so that to, another way to provide access to justice is you have to follow what's written. Follow step by step. And so if you miss a step, lots of time has been taken to make sure that people know exactly what to do. If you miss a step, it's just like you're held to the same standard as an attorney, and the case could be thrown out or not accepted because you haven't followed along.
My tendency would be to consult with an attorney if I were in that situation and make sure that I was doing the right thing. You know, taking all the steps and didn't miss anything, you know.
And that's a choice that we have in this country. Sometimes people don't choose that. Sometimes individuals don't know where to go to. In Butler County, we're very fortunate. Our Bar Association has what's called a lawyer referral service. And you can go to our website and find that. And you could also stop in and you would be provided with a list of attorneys. It's not for free, but it's attorneys who will indicate that they provide consultations and legal advice in certain types of situations. There's also...
So a specific individual attorney wouldn't be recommended, but a selection of several who practice in that area would be.
Right, yeah. Right. So there's that lawyer referral service, and there's a misunderstanding that there's free attorneys there. There's no free attorney through the lawyer referral service, but it gives you at least a starting point as to perhaps where to go. And as I indicated, we have not only lists at the Bar Association office on Main Street in Butler, but also on our website. You also find Neighborhood Legal Services provides free legal services to certain indigent individuals in certain types of cases. And Neighborhood Legal Services was... for a number of years right on Main Street, and then due to state and federal cutbacks, their office was kind of shrunk. They were closing down the offices in the outlying counties, and so Butler was one of them that was shut down.
I was going to say, I didn't think we had neighborhood legal services here anymore.
Well, and what they did was then they, in no better terms, parked the attorney in downtown Pittsburgh, but then they were having to come to Butler to see their clients, and that doesn't really give clients a good feeling. Mm-hmm. They want their attorney being present. And so Neighborhood Legal Services was able to reopen, and they are back in the Holly Point building. They have two or three attorneys on staff now, and they're not on the third floor. They're in a different office now, and they handle a variety of matters. They handle, though primarily it's going to be your family law cases, it's going to be your custody. They do not do divorces. They will do landlord-tenant. They also do unemployment compensation. They will sometimes do supplemental security income cases. And the thing with legal services, two misunderstandings out there. If Neighborhood Legal Services has represented an individual, let's say there's Joe Smith and Sally Smith, and Sally Smith needs an attorney, and Sally Smith goes to Neighborhood Legal Services and says, I need an attorney, and she meets their financial requirements. Mm-hmm. But Neighborhood Legal Services looks and says, we represented Joe Smith before. It's a conflict of interest. And so, unfortunately, Sally Smith then can't be represented by legal services because of a conflict. And I hear that over and over again, that legal services is conflicted out. The other thing is, it's for indigent individuals. You have to be low asset, low income. And so even though they say if you can't afford an attorney, let's face it, if you're middle income and you're looking at paying an attorney at an hourly rate, it's a stress on the budget, but you don't meet the federal guidelines. Mm-hmm. And so they have certain guidelines, and if you don't fall within those, then you're not going to be eligible for their services.
We're chatting with Attorney Elizabeth Smith here on Ask the Lawyer today. Doesn't the Victim Outreach Intervention Center or VOICE, don't they offer some legal advice or legal consultation or something? Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, Victim Outreach Intervention Center, their main office is on Cliff Street. They represent individuals who are victims of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And they too have guidelines in terms of representation, but their guidelines are in terms of income and asset, but not near as strict as Neighborhood Legal Services. You can qualify for their services if you're a victim of domestic violence. And then oftentimes with that, there's going to be perhaps a divorce case, or there's going to be a child support case or a child custody case. And so they provide legal services in our area. But also, Victim Outreach Intervention Center is not just about representation at PFAs. They now have housing available throughout the county if you qualify. They have counseling services. They have groups. They have a number of services. It's a program that's really grown in the 25 plus years that I've been in the county, from representing individuals in PFAs to now they provide housing.
They do a lot of good things in VOICE, Victim Outreach Intervention Center. A lot of people don't have an attorney. Now, if you're talking about a corporation, a big business, they have, you know, they retain an attorney. Mm-hmm. Because they're consulting with an attorney all the time. Very wealthy people would tend to have a whole band of attorneys, that are at their beck and call. But for many people, they don't. And I've talked to police officers a lot over the years, and there's always a concern that, most people, when they need to deal with a police officer, there's been some kind of trouble. You know, either they're in trouble or they've been victimized by a bad person. Mm-hmm. And police are they're concerned about that because people are reticent, mm-hmm. they're uneasy. I think it's the same way with an attorney. In many cases, when people feel that they need an attorney, there's a problem somewhere, and they're uneasy about mm-hmm. that. Think I'm correct on that?
Oh, absolutely. And one of the biggest things that I find is people don't want their problems known to other people. Mm-hmm. And under the code of ethics, attorneys are bound to a duty of confidentiality. It's very rare that you could breach that confidentiality. And so if an individual comes in and they share information, that information is confidential, is kept with the attorney, kept with the attorney's staff. And what you'll find is individuals who then work for attorneys will sign non-disclosure agreements as well, because the staff is also bound to that duty of confidentiality.
And that even extends, does it not, to the court system? I mean, we have what's known as attorney-client privilege.
Right. Absolutely. So if you had committed a crime and I was your attorney and you told me you did A, you went to place A, place B, and place C, and the prosecutor couldn't figure that out, I can't go and reveal any place that you went place A, place B, and place C, and maybe they needed to have you located at place B in order to show that you had committed that crime. And so, and you know, I think the other thing with concern about approaching attorneys is just in terms of they have this education, and so therefore they're kind of different, and how are they going to be? At the end of the day, attorneys are problem solvers, and so unless you come forward with the truth about what your problem is, you can't necessarily solve the problem. And this, getting ready for today's show, I was thinking about it, and I had an individual in my office today, and I said, well, here's this problem. Well, who told you that? He said, it's in this piece of paper right here. Well, I want to know. I said, but we need to figure this out, because I can fix it for you, but you'd never told me about this. Mm-hmm. Like, what about this? Well, I want to know who said that, but did it happen? Do you owe this? Well, back in 1990, I tend to remember. Well, then it's a problem that I can fix, but if you don't tell me, we don't know.
Hey, we need to take a break. A couple of other things I want to explore with the time that we have remaining to chat with local attorney Elizabeth Smith here on It's Your Turn on WISR. We'll take a break. Be back in just a couple of minutes.
Holiday season has made its way to Osterling's Lawn and Garden. They have plenty of supplies to get you ready for the holidays. Stock up on gift certificates, gift baskets, tree ornaments, and holiday cards. Osterling's has warm winter-scented candles, hats, gloves, sleds, and even toy stockings for your pets. Be prepared for the holiday and winter season with all the essentials from Osterling's Lawn and Garden, where they'll have everything you'll need at a great price.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way. Getting there stops here. Just hop the bus. Easy and economical. Just hop the bus. No car, no problem. The bus will get you there. 'Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus. Leave the driving up to us. The bus. We're going your way.
We chat with Elizabeth Smith, local attorney here on the It's Your Turn program today. We have, as of the election last month, Attorney Smith, we have a new judge here in Butler County. Well, we soon will anyway. Wink Robinson will be sworn in sometime in early January, I'm assuming. I'm not quite sure the date that he takes a seat on the bench.
Attorney William C. Robinson, Jr. was elected, and he will take the oath of office along with the other individuals who were elected in this last general election on January 3rd. And so there'll be a ceremony at the courthouse. I'm not sure about the time, open to the public. And he will be sworn in along with Kelly Ferrari, who will be our new prothonotary. I believe that Lisa Lutz had been up again for election.
Several other county row officials, even though the others were unopposed.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So they'll all be sworn in again.
And including the county commissioners, by the way. All unopposed.
All unopposed. And in speaking with Attorney Robinson yesterday, he was sharing with me that he then immediately goes to judge school. And so the newly elected judges in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania who are sworn in then go to judge school, and he'll be in school January 5th until January 11th. Now, of course, there's always continuing education for judges, just like there is for lawyers, but he gets sworn in, and then he goes off to school with other individuals who've been elected judge. And the first day that he will officially take the bench will be on January 13th. It's a Monday. And he will have what is called motion court, his first motion court, on Tuesday, January 14th. And they are slowly starting to build his schedule and working the cases in to bring him on board. And it's something that is we've been waiting for in Butler County, because
we've had a vacancy since former Judge Marilyn Horan was appointed to the federal bench.
Yep. So we've been down one judge, and that's taken a toll on the system, and everybody's going to have to, there's no better term, roll up the sleeves and get down to work and get the dockets a little bit behind. And by that, I mean the number of cases that are pending.
Mm-hmm.
Less people, then those cases don't get heard. And so
that should speed up the whole process of cases moving through the Butler County court system, because we'll have another judge now, finally.
Yeah, absolutely. And during this time, so there's no misunderstanding, this AOPC did have Judge Valisek, who's a retired judge, senior judge from Armstrong County, came over, and he heard a number of family law cases. So he was working within the court system to be sure that cases are timely heard, but he's not full time and he's part time, and cases are heard, but it's still not the numbers that need to be heard.
Mm-hmm. I know Attorney Robinson, I haven't actually talked to him since the election. The last time I saw him, I bumped into him pasta sauce aisle at the supermarket. We said hi in passing. I'm sure he's excited about this new service he's going to be performing.
Those were his words exactly. When I had the opportunity to speak with him yesterday, he said, "I'm very, very excited about this opportunity, the opportunity to serve, to hear cases, to start the next chapter in Butler County with another judgeship." And he indicated to me that it's his understanding, and he was going to a judge meeting yesterday. The judges meet on a regular basis. And our court system, he said, has been very open in working with him to let him know kind of the behind-the-scenes workings. And so he was going to a meeting yesterday to learn more about exactly what his role will be. But his understanding is that he will be primarily hearing family law cases. And that would involve divorce, support, custody, PFAs, that he would also potentially be hearing maybe some other matters that involve children, and maybe some like driver's license suspensions. But he wasn't quite sure, but he said that he was open for anything that the president judge wanted to put his way.
Oh. It's an exciting time. We'll have some new faces in the judicial system at the Butler County Courthouse come the beginning of January. We have to squeeze in one final break here, but we'll be back and talk for another couple of minutes with Attorney Elizabeth Smith here on the It's Your Turn program on WISR. We will be right back.
Like it or not, winter is coming. Not to worry, West End Tire and Service has over 400 snow tires in stock for cars and light-duty trucks. They also sell tires for large trucks, trailers, heavy equipment, skid loaders, backhoes, and more. With a vast selection of Cooper tires, West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great installation and service as Siemens provided for years. Plus, they have the same great staff, too. Call 724-287-6973 or stop by West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street in Butler.
Tobacco for Less is perfect if you like to think big. Tobacco for Less is Western Pennsylvania's largest glass emporium, which has hundreds of glass pipes, a custom walk-in humidor stocked with a huge selection of cigars, and a 19-foot vape juice bar. They're always stocked with standard tobacco products, and their health and wellness department maintains a wide selection of CBD products. Tobacco for Less is always expanding and adding to their product lines. Be sure to check out their Sharon location that has just added a large health and wellness department. Stop by one of their locations in Butler, Sharon, or Aliquippa for all your smoking and vaping needs.
And happy holidays from Tobacco for Less. Escape the hustle and bustle and enjoy breakfast, lunch, or dinner at Michael's Restaurant. Meet at Michael's for a get-together with family and friends or on your way to or from the light show. And don't forget, every Friday night is prime rib night. Need a quick gift? Michael's Restaurant gift cards also make great stocking stuffers.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening, every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
Chatting with local attorney Elizabeth Smith. Our time begins to run short. There's a couple of things that we do want to mention, though. First of all, another tragic story in the news today out of Pearl Harbor with a murder-suicide. The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is an important phone number that we want to make sure that people are aware of, Elizabeth.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime you want to have that number out there in case someone would need it. The answer is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And the number is 1-800-273-8255. And it is confidential support for individuals or families who are in need, and they can then direct you and to somebody in the local community who may be able to assist you. And so, especially at this time of year, you find where everybody's supposed to be happy, but you maybe are having issues, whether it be medical, financial, or just you suffer from a mental health impairment.
A lot of people get very depressed at holiday
right.
time.
Yeah. And so that's something that the Bar Association, we've been really working to promote good mental health, and CCR right there on Main Street offers a number of services to the public as well. But that 800 number is the lifeline.
CCR, Center for Community Resources, is right across the street from Miller Shoes, if you're not familiar with their location on South Main. And that National Suicide Prevention Lifeline number, again, toll-free, 1-800-273-8255. 855. One of the focuses of Attorney Smith's practice is Social Security and disability and supplemental security income. There's a bit of news, isn't there, from the Social Security Administration?
There is. So for the past number of years, as we've gone from president to president, they've just had an acting commissioner, kind of the big boss of all the people who work for Social Security. And finally, we were able to obtain a commissioner who is doing some things. And one of the first things calls to order was to stop having the local offices closed for part of the day. And so in January, and I believe it's after Martin Luther King Day, here in Butler, the Butler office will no longer be closed, nor will any offices be closed in the afternoon. So I know I've had a number of individuals say to me, well, I went to the Social Security office to find something out or needed a piece of information on a Wednesday, and they were closed. What's up with that? And this new commissioner has come in, and he's appropriated funding to cover that and also create another 1,100 positions in the country. And it's really important because individuals have to rely on rides, have limited schedules. I will tell you, though, Social Security office, like other federal offices, undermanned. And so they were closing, not that they were not working, they just weren't seeing the public because they were behind in because of so many claims. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of what's better, but this new commissioner has come in. And I think that's really great for citizens and for especially us in Butler County. Great bus service right there if you're on the bus line that you can go there weekdays, Monday through Friday.
If you have questions in that regard,